One.
All right, hello everybody. It's the Wrestling with the Willies podcast, and we're talking about AEW's Dynasty. And it's me and Jeremy again. Like, usually I mention that. I think in the WrestleMania one, I did not mention each other's names, but I
You
mean,
probably didn't, but
I
for our
probably didn't.
listeners, I would hope they know who we are at
Yeah, I
this
know.
point, even
Like,
if you
it's us
forgot.
like every fucking time. So, I mean,
Yeah.
like,
Well,
I
me
need
and
to
you
put.
are on the cover of the podcast, for
Yeah,
Christ's sakes.
pretty much, yeah.
I
And
mean, so.
let me mention, this fucking pay-per-view sucked. I'm like, I think it's one of the worst
Yeah,
pay-per-views,
it
except for
was.
one match.
Yeah.
This is probably the weakest damn AEW pay-per-view that I've ever, like,
Yeah,
watched.
so this is kind of probably be a very quick talk because I don't think it deserves really a lot of discussion. We're gonna go through
Yeah.
like each match and the result of each match, but there's gonna be one we're probably gonna spend the bulk of the time talking about because
Yeah.
I honestly don't think the rest of, well, maybe two. I think the last match might deserve some discussion too, but
Yeah.
we'll get when we get there,
Oh. Yeah.
we'll talk about it. But so there
So
were.
I didn't realize, okay, when they said that they were doing the way they combined the Ring of Honor and AEW belts, the six man tag match, right? It looks like. Oh, okay. So they didn't combine it. Never mind. I
No,
thought
they
at one
didn't.
point during during Dynasty, they said that they unified the championship belts. So I thought that that's what they were talking about, but they were just mentioning one of the pre-show matches was that. So it was probably they were just mentioning that they won the retained them, I
And
guess,
during this,
maybe.
we'll talk about possible things we know about since, but I don't know if I
Yeah.
know much that's been going on since.
Well, I mean,
But
this
anyhow,
match was.
but during the pre-show, there were three matches. So the first one, the Trent, and we don't watch the pre-show, so we're gonna go through these very fast. So we can just go through the
Yeah.
results. So Trent Barretta defeated Matt Sydal in 8 minutes and 13
And I think
seconds.
this might be the one where I was talking to you on the stream. I don't know if it was on the same thing or not, where. Chuck Taylor came out and because he was beating up on him afterwards, Matt Sydal, and then he said, "I've been trying to talk to you for a week, man, and you need to pick a side." Essentially, that's what he said to him. So, like, I'm intrigued with what they're gonna do, and I don't know why they're splitting best friends up, but like, I'm intrigued with what they're gonna do, and it makes sense
Well,
why Trent would be. Like turning heel anyway
ever
because he
since the
did.
cruise, I haven't given two shits about Matt Sydal
Yeah.
because of what
Yeah.
he did to you.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, like,
Yeah,
that's
but to
what I'm
not
saying.
even re so to promise you're gonna so if you guys don't remember the story, we went on a Chris Jericho cruise and Matt Sydal was there. He was there with his brother. And he had this yoga. This was when he was. I don't even know if he's doing the same gimmick or not
Yeah, I
with
don't even
the
know if they're
yoga
still
mats.
doing the yoga mat thing.
But he
They
had a
put.
yoga mat that he had airbrushed or some shit. Well, Luther, at the time, he was part of that group. I don't remember what the name of the group was called. But
Chaos Project.
Chaos Project, yeah. He picked up the yoga mat and he threw it into the audience. And I caught it. Well, I gave it to Josh. Well, during an autograph session on the cruise, Josh took the yoga mat to get autographs on it. And somebody caught wind that he had this yoga mat, and I think it
J.D.
was
Drake.
JD Drake,
Yeah.
and he went and told Matt Sydal about it. Well, Matt Sydal came up to Josh and asked for it back, said it was a special gift from some person that painted this
From
shit for
his
him.
brother, and
Yeah.
then whoever painted it, yeah.
Write to me, I think, on Twitter or Instagram, and I'll get something for you
No,
in return for.
he just had me write down my email address.
Yeah.
And then he would like get in touch with me about giving me something. I'm
Yeah.
guessing like a signed picture or something.
Well,
Probably,
what
I'm
is it?
guessing.
2 years, maybe 3 years later,
Two or
no
three years.
email,
Yeah,
nothing.
no, nothing.
So
Yeah.
it's like, really?
So
Why
it's
you
like,
say
okay,
shit like
why do you
that if
say
you're,
shit? Yeah, like what? You think I'm gonna just keep it? I'm like,
Yeah.
granted, like most people would have just kept it in the room, right? and then just like took it home and been like, hey, guess what? Like, especially you're lucky that like you even got it in the first place. But I mean, it is what it is. I got over it a while
Point
ago,
being
but
is
like
that
it's just like
don't
you could have
say
been.
it's
I'm
like,
not really a huge fan of him anymore, though. Like, I'm not
well,
like
yeah,
because same with J.D. Drake. I thought he was cool before, and then I understand you're being homies with a wrestler, right? Like, you're just kind of like looking out for him. And then even J.D. Drake said that he was going to get me something, like he was going to sign something for me, and then didn't. So, like, I was just like, okay, then fuck both these guys.
Well, that's what
Like,
I'm saying. I
so.
mean, it puts a sour taste. It's like the sour taste in my mouth I have for Britt Baker ever since that cruise.
Yeah, like
It's
once
like
she just didn't talk
Powerhouse
to you. I
Hobbs.
mean,
There's the same, so the interactions I had with a lot of the people that were negative have carried over. The
yeah,
ones that were nice, like Isaiah, part of
Isaiah
Private
Cassidy, yeah,
Cassidy, was a cool dude. What is his name?
Angelico was
And
super
Helico,
cool.
yeah, that was
He was
another one.
very
We ran into
funny.
him. We ran into him on the stairwell all the time.
And then
But
Stu Grayson was super nice. He talked to us for like a half an hour just talking about how much he likes to work out, like how much knowledge he has on working out and nutrition and everything compared to like video games and shit.
but it's just funny that it carried over. Anyhow, so that was the result of the first match. I just wanted to point that out because I saw his name. I haven't seen him wrestling in a while, so it was kind of
Yeah, it's
interesting to see
mostly
that was.
because it seems like he mostly does. Actually, I don't even think that they do dark anymore. I think they do, either that or it's like Dark Elevation. I think they might have canceled, but
But
like now they
enough.
do like Ring of Honor and all that shit.
Yeah.
So,
The next match was Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata defeated Shane Taylor Promotions
look at
in
you!
12
You
minutes.
said his first name perfectly, dude. I gotta give you props for that shit because I mean most names you get horribly wrong.
Well,
I
yeah, I don't try to really pronounce the ones I don't
know, but like
really,
I'm just saying you just said that one perfectly.
but yeah, in 12 minutes and 44 seconds. And then
Oh,
the
Lee
last
Moriarty
match,
was with him. Okay.
yeah, the last, yeah, was Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. And then the last match on the pre-show was Bullet Club Gold, which is Jay White and the Guns.
The Guns, yeah.
They defeated Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed.
Which I thought the Acclaimed was with Billy Gunn, though. I thought it was just like the Acclaimed was the whatever. I
Yeah,
mean,
I
like
thought
it
so too,
matters.
but that was 14 minutes and 44 seconds. So if you guys listened to our last podcast with WrestleMania, the pre-show match cards were longer than a lot of the WrestleMania matches were,
Oh,
the
yeah.
matches that were on the pre-show. So that's just how we always watch these, but sometimes maybe longer isn't better. And that's what we're going to talk about coming forward. So
Yeah.
the first match on the
Oh.
card was Kazuchika Okada
Talking about
against.
saying the names, and then I always fuck up his name though. His first name is always like so hard to pronounce.
Did I say it right?
It's like Kazuchika, I think is how
Oh,
you say it.
yeah, it's
I
not
think
like.
that's how you say it, and I fuck it up
Yeah,
every time. It's
and
like
I.
you think
If
of it
it's
in
that
your
way,
head and you can
well,
think of it. And then you get it right, but then
I always
pronouncing it, you
pronounce
fuck
it
it
the
up.
way it's spelled. So Kazuchika is what it looks like to me. But anyways, he faced off against Pac and he won. But this match for the Continental Championship because he had won that from Eddie Kingston
Which,
prior to this.
okay, mind you, I gotta kind of have a
But
little gripe on this.
this match, I just wanted to point out, this match was 21 minutes and 55 seconds to start the pay-per-view. So
Yeah. Like,
anyhow.
my gripe is, okay, you do this shit where Eddie Kingston goes into a match with Bryan Danielson. It was the last pay-per-view you did when it's talking about respect and all that shit. Then you drop the title to Okada. Like, I'm like, what? He didn't need a title. He could have still been with the Elite and shit and didn't have a damn title. And you could have him on all the pay-per-views because his name. You know, like any hardcore wrestling fan knows of Okada. I don't think it needed the damn belt for that. And then, mind you, Pac returned after I don't know how long, and it looked like he got hurt with his neck on more than one occasion in this match. It looked like he was in agony at one point. Like I saw most of the moves that he was doing where he was landing directly on his neck and or head. I'm like, golly, is he okay? It looked like he was just hurting the whole time. And then he lost. And then I was just like, oh, nice.
But this
Like,
match was okay. Like I said, it wasn't
well, that's
memorable.
a,
It
well,
was,
that's what I'm
I
saying.
think
I
it was
mean,
a
like,
little too long.
well, that's what I'm saying. It was very long for like compared to like some of the other matches that I was just like the Willow Nightingale match. I was
We'll
just like,
talk about
what?
that in a second, but the next match that I don't know if I have a lot to, like I said, we're not going to talk about a lot of the wrestling in this car pay-per-view because none of it was stellar except for a couple matches.
Yeah.
But the next match was the House of Black was up against Adam Copeland or Edge, Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe, which in a 6-man tag match, but it went 17 minutes and 46 seconds. But this was one of those matches I'm like, okay, I haven't seen House of Black on a card in forever. It's like
Yep.
we were talking about it. It's like they're almost on their way out. I feel that when
Yeah.
their contract is up, they're going back to WWE.
And I would
Brody,
hope that
Brody
Brody King
King.
would go with him too.
Yeah, well, you know Buddy Matthews and Malachi Black are going back. That's almost a given that once
Yeah.
their contracts are up, Brody King's like kind of the wild card because he didn't come from there.
Yeah.
So, it's a matter of whether or not WWE
I
comes
would love
after them.
for I would love if they redo their House of Black because
Well,
there is no way, like, unless they trademark the name, like, they could trademark
they
Malachi
still
Black
can
and
do,
stuff, but
yeah,
they
unless
could
they,
still do the House of Black in
well,
WWE,
because
but also at
Aleister
the same
Black was
time,
his name in WWE, so it's
yeah,
not
that's
like.
what I'm saying. It's the same thing, so he could still do it, but I would be more intrigued as if, okay, so mind you, a lot of people are saying that it's Uncle Howdy, but if you haven't watched his YouTube stuff and everything else that's in WWE right now, Bo Dallas, Brothers of Bray Wyatt, has been doing packages. I noticed that he's been doing a lot of YouTube channels named after certain cryptic things that he's been telling in said videos. And he's wanting other people to like watch. It's like a viral campaign thing for his new persona where he's calling it Wormwood. And essentially he's telling people that he wants certain people on each brand to take it over, essentially. And if they left and went back, I would be really intrigued with same with Brody King if he went with them and they went into this team. And then it would essentially be everyone that was associated with Wyatt. Like, that's what I would
Well,
hope.
you did
They're
hear that
saying the
Eric Rowan
Wyatt
signed.
Six. No way, really?
Yeah, Eric Rowan
Oh, shit.
re-signed with
Okay,
WWE.
so this is what my plan,
Braun
like,
Strowman just came back.
this would have been my idea. I don't think that they should do the Wyatt Six because he's been talking about the Wyatt Six as the thing, but I don't know if this was setting up like where his ideas were coming from, and now he's starting to get a more coherent thought with it. Is that everyone associated with Bray Wyatt at one point in time should be in the group? Like Alexa Bliss, whenever she comes back, be in the group. Eric Rowan, like you can't have Luke Harper anymore, but you could totally have Braun Strowman, and it explains how certain of these guys came back, and it shows a different persona for like whenever they do show up. I think Wormwood will probably be a character where it's like mostly in vignettes, where he's telling other people on that brand, or it's like he's the leader of the group where he's making them do the legwork to get titles and whatever else, or to change people over to their cause. And, like, I would be intrigued with any dark character like Aleister Black or the House of Black or anything to get into the fold and then to take them over. They've never done a thing where, like, they've made a giant faction where it's been, like, 10 or 15 dudes in WWE before. And I would be intrigued as if they did that and then Wyatt, they set something up where he was setting up where they were getting all the titles at one point where they would try to get all total control of every single area of WWE, like NXT and everything. And I think that Joe Gacy could go into the group. There's like a lot of like thoughts that I could see this going. Like a lot of people were saying Uncle Howdy, and I'm like, no. But like, I can totally see that was off.
But I am intrigued with what they're doing with it right now.
What they're doing.
I just hope they don't. I just hope they don't fuck it up like they did with Wyatt.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Because I felt, and I don't know if Wyatt was having issues at the time, but it seemed weird how they ended the Fiend.
It seemed
at that point with Alexa Bliss, it seemed like
I'm thinking that he was having problems with Vince.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's where it
because it seemed like he came back and then he wanted to leave again when Vince came back in the fold again.
Yeah.
So it's like, but
because I mean, Stephanie did the same exact thing.
Well, yeah, Stephanie left, and you know now it was her dad. That's the reason she left. Period. She left when her dad came back. It's not even a question in my mind now, especially seeing that she's back in the fold again all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But with that being said, we'll move on to like I said, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the matches during this card, I don't think. The next one was Willow Nightingale and Julia Hart for the TBS Championship. And again, with this, I knew what was going to happen because of Mercedes Moné signing. We knew Willow Nightingale was going to defeat her because it would set up the Willow Mercedes rematch because Mercedes got injured in the match with Willow in New Japan. So you knew that they were going to face off against each other again. So you knew the result of this match. This match only went 6 minutes and 1 second. So you knew, I mean, and I don't know. I
like
Julia
Hart. And then, of course,
Hart,
like, Mercedes Moné came in and ruined her, like, her win, too.
Yeah.
And it was funny when we were watching this match. I was like, Stokely Hathaway's a good guy now?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's the problem that AEW's been having with shit. If you ain't watching Dynamite, you kind of lose shit. Or,
well,
like, Dynamite or, like, Ring of Honor or whatever.
But even when you watch it, dude, this shit just comes out of nowhere. Sometimes,
yeah,
like they'll come up with matches that are like, what the shit is this? And it's like, you know, some of these made sense, but like I was telling you, the next match, Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, the last time they talked before this was when Kyle O'Reilly returned and didn't take the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like there was no real build up to this match, not 3 weeks later or whatever it was. So it's like, and then Roderick Strong beat him to retain the title. You knew that was going to happen because Kyle O'Reilly wasn't going to win right away.
Yeah.
So this match went 17 minutes and 18 seconds. And this
then
is another
they showed
one
that Adam Cole was healed.
Yeah. Which
that was pretty much all they were showing.
But how is that surprising with the fact that he turned on MJF? I mean, they kind of went, MJF was a babyface after that. So when Adam Cole turned on him, you knew that he was eventually going to turn.
And they were even setting up where Adam Cole was staring at Wardlow, where eventually this is what we were talking about too, is that I'm hoping that Wardlow turns on Adam Cole before Adam Cole turns on him. Like, because how he didn't win his match against Samoa Joe. I'm hoping that that's what happens, but like, it's probably not going to happen. That's the only gripe that because the match was good. I was worried about Kyle O'Reilly a few times though, but like, I really love both guys, but like, honestly, I don't know.
And then, like I said, that one went 17 minutes and 18 seconds. I don't remember it that much.
Yeah.
The next match,
like, I remember it
again,
more, but
we talked about this. Chris Jericho, I don't think he has to be on every single flipping card. So
yeah,
Chris
I don't
Jericho
think he needs to be, yeah, he
was on this
need to be on it.
He against Hook in a FTW rules match for the FTW championship belt. And he beats Hook. But in yeah. this match, he comes out to a different nickname.
He went to, it seemed like he did, oh yeah, he came out to the man, what was it?
He's not
the
coming out to Judas anymore either, like I don't think, but it was stupid. Some different name again. But I've seen since then, because I haven't really watched Dynamite all that much, but it looks like he's coming out in different ring attire now. Like, it's actually not even pants. He's coming out in briefs again.
Yeah,
like
looks
blue
like
ones
trying,
with a vest on.
Yeah, it looks
so
like
it's
he's
like,
trying to be like more like his Lionheart gear or whatever.
But he, you know, how many years has it been since he's done that? So it's like, okay, what are you having a midlife crisis where you want to be young again?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like
but I'm getting tired. I'm honestly getting tired of Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I am too. It's like especially with this one, I kind of heard that they were saying that there's a possibility that Hook might be out of his contract soon in AEW and that he might be going to WWE and that's why he dropped the belt. But I mean, if I thought Taz had the belt. So like I thought it was his belt. So if he was gone, he wouldn't have the belt anymore. But I don't know for sure. All I know is that I'm so tired of Chris Jericho winning, and I don't need to fucking see him on. If they're doing a please retire match or a chant, even though that some of the people are about the rumors that happened with him and Kylie Rae. Like,
yeah, I don't care about that. It's more he comes on to a match and he's winning every
and
time.
And then he wins every it's time, like, especially on pay-per-views, and then it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, like, it's like,
why did he have to win this match?
Yeah.
It didn't help anyone.
No.
It didn't help him. It didn't help Hook. Like, what is he going to do? Nothing.
Yeah.
And then he's going to sit there and talk shit. Okay, his whole arc was when he went face. This past time, everyone left him. Everyone did. And Jericho Appreciation Society left him because he only gives a shit about himself. So the whole storyline was knowing that he was face, he was trying to show different colors. Like, he cares more about other people. He sabotages other people, and then he turns his back on people, but now he's turning it around. And then what does he do? He teams with Hook afterwards and then turns on Hook. And then he's just like, they explain it like, oh, he's feeling sympathetic for him, but not really. He's still the same Chris Jericho. So you're doing a please retire chant because no one cares. You're getting X-Pac heat right now because you're doing, like, why should anybody see you on TV? I don't understand this right now. Literally, you don't even have help AEW right now. If anything, you're hurting it because you don't need to be on every single pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And win on every single pay-per-view at that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I could say the same thing for a match coming later. But, anyways, I don't really want to spend a whole hell of a lot. I wanted to point out that Chris Jericho won and that he won again. And that I don't think he should be.
And then the Tony Storm one with Thunder Rosa, it seems like a detriment to Thunder Rosa, but I mean, like,
I said that before. I said that before when she lost to Britt Baker. I thought that Thunder Rosa should have beat Britt Baker back then. Not Britt Baker beat Thunder Rosa. I think she got shafted then. I'm talking the first time because really the one that did. Britt Baker blew up after their first match where she got all bloody because she used it the right way. But I feel the one that wrestled the best in that match was Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
And then, and she continued to do that. And then she got hurt and she didn't want to wrestle hurt after that. So she I think she got a lot of flack because she wanted to take time off to nurse her injuries. Right.
Well, I mean, who would want to like wrestle injured?
Because I heard that, but it watching that All Access thing, her back was so tore up, dude, that it was like she couldn't barely function at the time, right? But, you know, people, but Britt Baker, there's a, I just find it weird that ever since, Britt Baker hasn't really been
She hasn't anywhere been on TV or anything in a while.
I mean, it seems weird. It's like, I haven't heard that she's injured at all. So it's like, where the hell is she?
Yeah, like, literally, like, last thing I heard was that she was bitching because she wasn't getting any TV time.
But there's got to be a reason she's like, not. She went from being the top woman in the company to not even being on TV.
Hey, it's trust like she's me, not I understand.
Even, yeah, it's like, so there's got to be a reason. I mean, so, you know, it's not like everybody else that got reported why they were just off TV, right? I mean,
yep.
So, but Toni Storm is the right person to have the belt right now. That's the unfortunate thing for Thunder Rosa, is that I think this is one of those situations that's a little too early to take it from Toni Storm again. Right. Yeah. I think the plan would be Jamie Hayter's probably going to take it when she comes back.
Yeah.
So
I could see that.
And then Britt Baker would probably at that point feud with Jamie Hayter. I see that being a turn that happens.
That's the only thing that I could think of, is it, and that they're holding off on Britt Baker.
But to have her not anywhere all of a sudden, I mean, she has,
it seems weird, but like that's all.
It's very strange, especially when you don't hear anything about her being hurt. Like,
yeah.
Like they never announced she was injured or anything.
Definitely don't think she's hurt.
But yeah, this match went 15 minutes and 8 seconds, which was quite long. The next match was the best match, and it's probably my favorite match in years, actually.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, it shows Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay are just great.
Like, yeah, I mean, no, but I mean, I don't
know what Eric Bischoff says or anything. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, if he heard the pot shots taken from Triple H, of course he's going to say that shit about fucking Stephanie McMahon and shit. Of course he's going to do that.
Well, Will Ospreay can say whatever he wants. The simple fact is I didn't know who this guy was until the Chris Jericho cruise. Didn't know him at all. You knew who he was. I did not. Ever since then, I have not seen that guy wrestle a bad match. Not one.
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been a missed spot. There hasn't been, you know, you can't say that about many people. And for him to go in it with Bryan Danielson, who doesn't really miss spots either. You knew this one going in was going to be a good match, but I think they even outdid my expectations of the match.
I agree. I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
Is there anything crazy that I can point out? No, because they did all types of shit. There's one thing I could probably point out. There was a move that Ospreay did where I think it was either a Hurricane Rana or maybe Bryan Danielson did a Hurricane Rana.
Oh, but
Will Ospreay landed on his feet afterwards.
Yeah, and then Daniel Bryan, like, landed on his head.
Yeah, I mean, but it was like, well, that was the first one. I'm talking about the one in the middle of the ring. I can't remember what move they did, but he got flipped and landed on his feet. I don't remember what move it was, but it was like one you wouldn't normally land on your feet on. And it's the fact that they did all that choreography and he was still able to land that cleanly like that was crazy to me. And, you know, we watch enough wrestling that there's not a guy, and Ricochet is probably the closest to being able to do what Will Ospreay is doing. But I honestly feel that Will Ospreay is more powerful.
Ricochet is more
like the high flyer and he bounces around a lot, but Will Ospreay is like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you and do this shit at the same time.
Yep. Like, I've always thought that way. Like, especially with, he has some of the best fucking finishers too. Like, his Stormbreaker move, when I first saw it, I was like, holy fuck.
And I think it's the Tiger 93. I think
Tiger Driver 93,
the one he said he's going to retire now. And this is what I was saying. This is like the beginning of his face turn. He's been a heel for a while, I think. And I think they're starting to turn him face. And I think this is the start of it, where he checked on Bryan Danielson after the match. Where then in the presser afterwards, he talks about he's going to retire this move that hurts people. Like,
yeah,
you know, and I think that's part of it. I think it was part of the story. And this is where this was a story related thing. Him doing that move and Bryan Danielson reacting to it the way he did.
Yeah.
I think where
he was super hurt and then he hit him with the hidden blade after that.
Is literally part of the story. Like, he's not hurt. I think this is an arc to get Will Ospreay to turn face, because All In is coming up and it's in London again. This dude's going to win the title in London. This is almost a guarantee. He's going to be there, and he should be their title holder for a long time. Will Ospreay should be their guy.
Yeah, because they forever can have him. Yeah, like he could.
You talk about a Roman reign. This should be a Will Ospreay reign for a long time, because he's the best wrestler by far that they've got. There's nobody that can touch him even close. Yeah. And I don't say this very often, and Josh knows this. I'm very critical of people when I talk about them, but there's not many people that have ever excited me to the point of saying that, like Will Ospreay has.
Especially, we've talked about all his damn fucking matches since he signed with AEW. And yeah, even not then,
one. The one he did against Takeshita a month ago, or in the last one, Revolution, before this one, was up there with this one. But this one killed that one. And that was hard to top. The Takeshita one was hard to top. And they topped it with this one. So that's the problem, is going forward, he's going to be compared to this match all the time.
He's going to be compared to all the other matches that he's
doing. It's almost going to remind me of Mankind was compared to after he did the Hell in the Cell with Undertaker years ago. But I think it'll be easier for Ospreay, because I don't think he's ever going to, until he gets old. Yeah. He's not like Darby Allin either, that does this stupid shit when he, you know, to get hurt and stuff. Like, he does I think he wrestles high fly-y strong, but he doesn't wrestle stupid is what I want to call it. Cause I think Darby Allin, for the most part, does this special stuff, but it's stupid stuff too.
Yeah. Like, I agree.
Like taking a coffin drop onto hard steel steps. Those aren't going to move. You're back
doing a years down the line. Glass.
You're back down. You may not completely be hurt today, but years down the line, you're going to feel that shit. Now, what Ospreay's doing, it ain't going to, because he's not doing anything that's going to be hurtful necessarily all the time.
Yeah, like he's very, like,
but it's going to be stuff.
He's mindful of being excitable, where he's like exciting the crowd off of doing crazy tricks, but it's not anything to the detriment of his body.
No. Like, and that's why I said it's going to be stuff that the crowd is going to love, but it's not going to be something that's going to hurt him.
And like Ricochet does the same thing, but like it's just on a whole nother level.
But Ricochet does the flashy stuff, but there's nothing strong about his wrestling to me. And his promo skills are just horrendous. That's the one thing that when Ricochet gets in front of a mic, he's not very good.
Yeah, I agree.
Will Ospreay can at least talk on a mic, right?
Yeah.
And he's proven that when he goes, you know, when he's in the pressers and everything else.
Yeah, now, I agree.
So for that being said, I don't have much else to say about this match besides what I've already said. I don't know if you have anything else, but I just wanted to point out, best match by far, by a mile.
Probably going to be only one this of the year, best of the years.
Easily. To come. I don't know if there's going to be any that can hit it this year.
Yeah. Like, I agree.
It's going to be hard to top it for anybody.
But definitely had a tag team matches.
And that went 32 minutes and 40 seconds, and it was a great 32 minutes and 40 seconds. It did not feel that long for one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the next match, we go from the best match of the card to the same old match on the card for the next one. And I think this should have been earlier in the card.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
But the Young Bucks faced FTR again.
For the fourth time, I think.
In a ladder match this time. To win the vacant tag team titles that Sting and Darby Allin gave up when Sting retired. Because they vacated them when Sting left. And Darby was hurt anyways, but pretty much it was because Sting retired.
Then he got hit by a bus,
I think, in New York City. Yeah,
I was like, what the fuck, dude?
But this match was the same freaking match that you see from the Young Bucks every single time. And we knew what was going to happen based on what happened prior.
And Jack Perry was going to show up.
Was going to show up, and he did. The interesting part to me was that he was lingering throughout the crowd during the entire pay-per-view. Like, he was walking around with popcorn in his hand. There's people with videos watching him walk around.
That's funny. And
so he wasn't like hiding under the ring like you saw. I think it was during WrestleMania when
most of the time
somebody lifted up the ring and you see a hand underneath the ring. I think it was at WrestleMania that you saw that. So
it was during the Bloodline.
Yeah.
Cody and
so we were talking about that damn, he was sitting under that ring the entire pay-per-view. That's got to suck. Jack Perry was not. He was walking around in the crowd for the entire time. But we knew that was going to happen based on the CM Punk thing that they showed.
I swear, if this is going to fucking hurt them so bad, as if he's going to come out and he's going to do shit about CM Punk on there. If he does this shit on AEW television where he keeps on calling out CM Punk, they're going to ruin their shit, dude. I'm just telling you right now. He's already done it at certain other pay-per-view, or like he's done it at indie events where, like, I can't remember if it was a New Japan thing, but he came out where he had the Chicago stuff from CM Punk and it said the Cry Me a River shit on the back of his jacket. And then people cheered him. And people are like, oh, he's over. I'm like, anybody that dislikes CM Punk is cheering for Jack Perry. That doesn't mean that he's over. It took him for footage of him getting choked out because, what, he wanted to be funny? Like, or he wanted to break a window? Really? You wanted to be a dick because you wanted to break a window? It's just stupid.
But like, the one thing
now
I do...
he's turning it into his whole shtick. Yeah. Like, in wrestling, I'm like, that's just stupid. And it's going to hurt them.
Yeah, the only other thing I want to point out in relation to this match before we move on to the final one is that I thought it was funny that we pointed out that FTR, Dax Harwood, I think, started bleeding really fast.
Oh, yeah. Like,
we had pointed out that he's becoming Jon Moxley now because he's getting cut.
I definitely think that this was accidental this time.
Well, I know, but it's just funny because it's like the last few matches that Dax has been in, he's been cut open.
Like three or four that we've seen.
So it's like we're calling him the new Jon Moxley.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was glad to actually kind of not see Jon Moxley on this card, to be honest.
Yeah, I know, right? It's funny how Jericho was on it, but then Jon Moxley wasn't. But it was mostly
But I would have almost rather seen Jon Moxley on this card than Chris Jericho, if that tells you anything.
I agree. Like, but, and it's crazy how they gave the title to Jon Moxley, though. The IWGP
championship match.
I was like, what? He beat Naito. He had the United States belt, but like, I didn't think that he was ever going to get the IWGP belt. And then he like did a match against, I forgot who he went against on Dynamite. He went I can't remember if it's Shibata or something. It was somebody that he went against that I was just like, okay, I was surprised that he did. But, like, generally same shit. Like, the only thing that I was surprised about was that they pulled the trigger on Swerve, which I thought for a while that I thought Hangman was going to cost him the belt. I thought that they were going to wait a little bit longer for him to get the belt, like the chase of it, more than anything. And I'm glad that they had him beat Samoa Joe for it.
Yeah, like, so you preempted me, but yeah, we were moving on to that. But yeah, Swerve defeated Samoa Joe, and I actually I was happy. This was another one. I didn't think Samoa Joe should have won it in the last one. I thought Swerve should have won that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was shocked that Samoa took it, but I guess they were planning for him to take it at Dynasty, but still. So Swerve has deserved it for a while now.
Yeah. Like he's put in, so he's should be one of their top guys right now, mm-hmm. at least until Will Ospreay takes it. Because he's put in great work, and like some people think that he's like now because they're talking about who he's going to fight at the next pay-per-view is Christian now, because the Young Bucks said, "Hey, this is who you're going to face," and then he just dropped him. So they're thinking that he's going to be going against like Swerve on his face turn is going to go against every person that he did wrong since trying to get the belt. I mean, it would be a cool storyline. Do I think it's going to actually happen? No. But it would be kind of cool if he was doing that. Like, he would fight Nick Wayne, and he would go against Hangman again and stuff like that.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know, but Swerve deserves the belt, and he should be the title holder right now.
Yep, I agree.
Now, the interesting part for me, I don't have much to say. This was my second favorite on the card, but the entire card to me, besides the Will Ospreay match, was trash. We talked about it. This was my least favorite AEW pay-per-view I've watched so far.
Yeah, like I was sitting there, like I remember all the ones when I've watched, talking,
this was the worst one.
Because we started doing the AEW pay-per-views for like, I think at least a year now, or maybe 2 years.
I'm kind of tired of paying, you know, the unfortunate part is I hate paying $50. If this is what I'm going to have to watch, it's going to really make me wane on whether or not I want to pay $50 to watch this shit.
And that's what I'm saying. Like them doing this WWE shit and they're commenting about how much hate they're getting. Like, just do a good product. Stop looking at comments. Stop looking at petty bullshit that's coming. It's like some of these people are just saying it to get your goat.
Yeah.
Just leave it be. It's not that big of a deal. At the end of the day, put out a good product.
Yep.
You will get more fans the more you just leave it be. That's period how it is. You're not going to be the same you're not going to be exactly like WWE is. Okay? You're not going to be anywhere close. Just put out a good product. Stop bitching about what people say about you. No one fucking cares. No one should care. Like, stop going on Twitter talking about how, oh, there's not enough people going out to stands and this and that. Like, quit with this petty-ass bullshit. Just put out a good product.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people will actually join your shows and everything else if you put out a good product. That's it.
Yep. And with that, I don't think I have anything else to say about AEW Dynasty. I don't know about you, Josh, but I think that's all I've really got. So,
yeah, pretty much we got Backlash next, which will be out sometime, like probably like a week after or a few days after, at least, when Backlash comes out. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. And if you made it this far, check out our website and everything. We end up having all our videos on there. Aaron streams like practically every day on AC, I think it's Aaron Christopher TV, right? Still?
Yeah, that's what he's streaming on.
And then Jeremy streams at the Heart of Geek on Twitch and YouTube and everything else. And then I do on Rockified Fatty every once in a while. I haven't done it in a while, but like probably the next thing that I'm going to be doing is the Elden Ring. I'm going to be playing all of the Shadow of the Erdtree DLC when it comes out. And we'll do like pretty much all the podcasts and stuff like that. We got some Scream Creeps coming up and Morbid Instinct. So yeah, if you guys enjoyed all that shit, click follow and subscribe on all of our shit, like YouTube and everything else. And if you guys wanted to talk to, if you guys wanted us to review anything, just drop a comment or anything and just tell us about, like, whatever we should, if you want to recommend some shows. Because most of the time we've been doing only like newer pay-per-views, but like if you guys want us to like watch old school pay-per-views or something like that, just drop a comment or something
Speaking
like
of
that.
which, we will be releasing a review of UK Rampage 1993 here shortly. That was a request we had on Facebook a little bit ago, and we got to get on that. So that'll be one of
Yeah.
those requests that we're talking about. So if you guys do have stuff you want us to actually watch and talk about, leave a comment down below, or reach out to us on our socials. We're out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of that
Pretty much
stuff at
everything, yeah.
pretty much under Heart of Geek everywhere. So just reach out to us and let us know what you want us to talk about, and we'll look into it.
Yeah.
But for all of us here at the Heart of Geek, I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you in the next episode for Backlash.
Peace.
I'll see ya. Have a good one.